worship Him this morning. I love You, Lord, and I live my bold. Worship You, oh my soul, rejoice, oh take.
Amen. Amen. You want to see him?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be back home. Good to be in service this morning to worship the Lord together with you all. And had a good trip. And I'll share a little bit more about with you later about that. But got a few things we want to share with you this morning, testimonies and prayer requests. And Brother James Phillips had texted me on Friday and said that the Lord's really touched Sister Betty, and her recovery's been much quicker than expected. They told her she can go home from rehab on Wednesday, so I want to praise the Lord for that. And also, we got quite a few that are traveling. I want to remember Brother Japheth and his family, they're traveling overseas. Also, Brother Joshua Johnson and his family, is there traveling as well. And then Brother Norbert is traveling to New York to pick up his family, so I want to remember him in prayer and them on their way back for traveling mercies. And Brother Ben Wright called me last night, and he fell and sprained his ankle, so I want to remember him in prayer. And also Sister Crystal Wright, his wife has flu symptoms, so we want to remember her in prayer. And then Brother Yarborough's sister, Betty Cooper's having back surgery on Tuesday, so we want to lift her up in prayer in regards to that. And Brother Darrell requested prayer for a lady from his work whose son was killed in a car accident on Thursday. And as far as he's aware, the lady's an atheist. So we just want to remember that situation in prayer. Maybe the Lord will just use that to get her attention. But, you know, at a time like that, I thank God when things like that happen to us, we have the hope of the resurrection. And it's hard enough to go through loss and grief and things when we have that hope. So for somebody that isn't looking for that, I can't imagine what it must be like. So let's remember them in prayer and just remember that God will use this to get their attention. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Jimmy, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
It's a resurrection morning. You gave us the breath of life today, Lord. You heard every request that was spoken, Lord. We pray for each and every one that's traveling, Lord, that your hand of mercy would go with them and bring them home safely. We thank you for the testimony of Sister Betty, Lord, her recovery being speedily along by your grace, Lord. We thank you for that. The one that lost a loved one, Lord, being an atheist, don't know, but Father, may your grace be sufficient. And Father, in our service here today, Lord, we all come expecting, Lord, that you would walk up and down the aisles of our hearts, Lord. Open our minds up to receive your precious word, Lord. Father, let us just receive from you something today that will draw us a little closer and fall deeper in love with you today. And Father, we just ask your hand here today. And Lord, we just turn this service over into your capable hands, Lord. And Father, help us just to get out of the way. And Father, we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning again, church. This morning we're going to be reading the 55th chapter of the book of Psalm. We'll read from 1 to 11, doing the 11th verse all together, and then the Lord willing, we'll finish the chapter up next week. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they have cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me.
My heart is sore with pain within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me.
Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah.
I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest.
Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city.
Day and night they go about it, on the walls thereof. There shall also be sorrow in the midst of it.
Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. God bless you. Please be seated.
If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of my Jesus. Like no other name I know. Oh, yes, there's power in the name of Jesus.
My God is real, for I can't breathe.
Amen. You thankful for that this morning? Amen. What a blessed people we are. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, this morning into the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1. And just want to read that to begin with this morning. Service may be a little... Actually, wait just a minute. I'm sorry, Brother Furman. You and me both forgot. We've got a baby dedication this morning. So hold Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, and we'll read that in a moment. But Sister Stephanie, could you at least come back? I'm sorry. That's a mess up on the pastor's part. Brother Thor, you should have hollered at me. Amen. I would have remembered it by the end of service anyhow, but amen. Let's sing Bring Them In, key of F, I believe. We've butchered this song a few times since we had the wrong key. So Brother Furman texted me last night. He said, make sure you figure out what key Bring Them In is in. So we're going to try it in F. Oh, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. I don't know how a little girl can look so much like Thor Fast and be so pretty. Amen. What a miracle. Little miracle, hope, fast. And truly a miracle. Amen. I guess about a year ago, we had a service here, a baptismal service, and played 20th Century Prophet before it. And Brother Billy Paul happened to be in the service. And afterwards, I just felt impressed to have him come up and pray with us for Sister Savannah. They'd been trying to have a baby for about 7 years, I believe, and so God brought them a little miracle. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this miracle of life that you've given into the Fast home, Lord, and just ask that you be with Brother Thor and Sister Savannah, Lord. May you give them wisdom and knowledge on how to raise her up, Lord, in the way that you would have her to go. Lord, they bring her back this morning to give her back into the most capable hands that we know to give, and is to you, Lord Jesus. And may you just protect her. May you be with her all the days of her life. May you keep her safe from all harm. May you put a hedge around her, Lord. May the Holy Spirit just be present in their home as the child grows. And Lord, may you use her to be a blessing to others, I pray, Lord. We thank you for this miracle that you've brought, Lord, not only into their home, but into our church, Lord. And Lord, just truly an answer to prayer. And Lord, proof once again that you're a God that hears, and not only hears, but is able to answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Why don't we just read that together this morning? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a mighty God that we serve. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we have the word before us that we can read and we can look back and see what you did down through history. Lord, creating the heavens and the earth, and how that you were with the patriarchs of old and the prophets and the judges and the kings of old, and then how that you would come and condescend to come to earth and be born of a virgin and to give your life to save us. And then how down through the church ages, through the apostles and prophets and reformers, Lord, you would move. We're so thankful that we have a historical record of that we can look to. And we believe it's vindicated and that it's infallible, your word, Lord. But Lord, if all we had was you in letter form, then Lord, it would just be a memory of some day gone by. But we thank you, Lord, this morning, Lord, that we have infallible proofs of your resurrection in our midst. How that, Lord, it's not just a historical something, but that you're still healing, you're still saving, you're still filling with the Holy Ghost, you're still using individuals and leading and guiding. And Lord, how we thank you for that, that we serve a God of Hebrews 13 and 8. Lord, may it not just lay on our bookshelves, but may it come into our hearts and may it be something that we live forth, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. As I said, maybe just a little different style service this morning. I'd planned on, and I'd actually studied on picking up again on the dealing with a critical spirit. And about 11:30 last night, the Lord kind of changed directions on me on what he wanted to do instead of what I had in mind. And so this may be just slightly different, but I think it'll do us good. And wanted to kind of give you a report of the trip and kind of in doing that, share some things with you that was just impressed on my heart while we were gone. And share some things from history and from the scriptures and the message with you. And I don't know exactly where to start, so you just pray for me. But I guess we'll kind of just give you a little overview of the trip. We left here Sunday night, I guess 2 weeks ago, and drove to Beckley, West Virginia, and spent the night there, and then drove on in to Washington, D.C. on Monday. And got to drive around and see some of the monuments and memorials and things that evening. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we toured some of the museums there in D.C. And then Wednesday evening after that, we left and went to Delaware, had Thanksgiving with the family there, and preached for Brother Jeff there in Blades, Delaware, my uncle, Saturday night and Sunday morning, and just a really small group there Saturday night, but I think it was one of the best services of our entire trip. I think there was 20 people there, and 8 of them were from Church of the Open Door. We had borrowed them, and I think all but about 4 were family, so I just really just let down my hair, as we would say, and just felt right at home. I preached on Off the Ash Heap, and I believe it was a help and a blessing to the saints there. And then on Sunday morning, we looked at Jonah and some things we looked at here at the church a few months ago. And then we went back to D.C. after we got through there in Delaware and spent a few more days in Washington, D.C., touring the White House and the Capitol, Library of Congress, and different things like that, Arlington National Cemetery, and some more of the memorials. And Wednesday night went and preached for Brother Mike Walls in Vienna, Virginia, and preached on the ministry of reconciliation. And then I got a chance Thursday evening and Friday morning to go and sit in this room right here, which is the main reading room of the Library of Congress, and study a little bit. And while I was studying, I ran across some things just historically in the message that I'd never caught before, as far as some of the beginnings and things when Brother Branham first started in the Pentecostal movement, that I may try to bring out here at a service sometime in the future. And that was a blessing, and then began to study. I went around and was looking. There's statues there, and we'll show you some of that in a minute. But there's statues around the walls here. I don't know if it'll let me. Yeah, it'll let me zoom in there. You can kind of see there's statues around the top of the wall there, and they have different sections: science and history and religion and different ones. And for the religion section, they have a statue of Moses and a statue of Saint Paul. And so I wanted to sit somewhere where I could kind of see those. And so I ran around Brother Layton, and I found they've got desks there with chairs where you can sit and read. And they're in a circle, as you can see, in this great room. And went over and found a good spiritual number, 333, and sat there and studied. But as I began to look up at the ceilings and see some of the plaques and things, it just stirred something up in my heart. And one of the things was above the statues there for religion, there's this statue and a plaque that says what we just read. This is over the science section, not over the religion section. This sign that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Psalm 19 and verse 1. And it just began to impress me as I looked at some of these things of, how the nation that we're in now, You know, when they're tearing down monuments and tearing down things of scripture-related items and can't have the Ten Commandments on the courthouse steps and things like that anymore, and they've taken God out of the schools, and you know, there's no more Congress meeting and opening in prayer like they did when they had the First Continental Congress there. And I begin to look around at some of these things, and it just began to strike me, you know, how far we've come as a nation, which we recognize by the message of the hour in 1956 there, America turned down her opportunity to receive the gospel, and she rejected it. And so it's begun to go downhill since then as far as spiritually, you know, financially, the economy and things. We have ups and downs and peaks and valleys and things, but as far as spiritually, the nation itself has continually declined. But yet this nation was founded on so many things of religion and on the scriptures and even on the Lord Jesus. We went to Arlington National Cemetery there, and 40,000 plus graves in the cemetery there, and the vast majority of them are little white markers that have a little cross at the top of them. Probably 30,000 crosses in Arlington National Museum. And Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" That's displayed in the religion section there in the main reading room of the Library of Congress on a plaque. This is the statue of St. Paul there, statue of Moses. And over on the history section, there's a quote from Tennyson from his poem In Memoriam, which says, "One God, one law, one element, and one far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves." And that's that plaque there. So all surrounded, all around me there, sitting in the Library of Congress, these scriptures. And it reminded me of this quote that my dad and I refer to many times from Jezebel Religion, 1961. Brother Branham said, "Some time ago I talked to an old man down at Corden, Indiana. He told me about when the Capitol was in Corden and how he said how he went in an ox cart down to hear the governor speak. And he and the governor was the only two that had two-piece suit on, said that he raised the sheep and sheared them and washed their wool. His sister spun it and made him a coat to go with his trousers. And the old fellow sitting there, then of about 85 or 90 years old, pulled his beard like that. And he said, 'Billy, that's when America was America.'" That's when America was America. Somebody asked me today, I can't remember who it was, said, what's the word, Brother Nathan? I said, the word is America. So now they know what I was talking about. But when America was America, he said, "I looked at the old fella and I thought, boy, you, a lot of these young ones wouldn't believe it, but you're telling the truth." Now, when you go to the Capitol, and you just bear with me this morning. I don't know exactly what this will be. It may just be kind of a teaching and a history, or I may just get into full-blown preaching. I don't know what it'll be, but I just felt led to go this direction, maybe just to settle somebody's thoughts or whatever it was for. I don't know exactly what, but the Lord just led me this direction, so you just bear with me this morning. We'll try to enjoy it together. But when you go into the Capitol Rotunda, where the dome of the Capitol is there, and you can see it for miles away there in Washington. And when you're standing in the middle of the rotunda, there's paintings all around you and there's statues all around you. And I didn't realize it until we got there and the tour guide began to tell us, but the height of the Capitol dome there, you could actually sit the Statue of Liberty inside of it on the floor, and there would still be 30 feet between the top of the Statue of Liberty and the ceiling. And massive paintings. And one of these paintings is Columbus discovering America, and you can see in the background there's a cross right there that one of his soldiers is carrying, the cross of Christ. And then there's a painting of the voyage of the Mayflower and the pilgrims meeting on the deck there and praying to God, and a man standing there or kneeling there in the middle holding the King James Bible in his hand, and they're praying to God. And then there's a picture as well of the baptism of Pocahontas when she went back to England and before she passed away there. So many, many religious representations. And when the First Continental Congress met and they were having the constitutional convention to try to decide what the Constitution would be, and they were debating back and forth on how to do things, and they had been there many days in the heat, and they were, you know, had many different opinions of how the government should be and how much control the government should have and all that. And Benjamin Franklin stands up one day, who was, as far as our founding fathers, probably what we would consider one of the least religious of the founding fathers, and he stands up and he makes this statement on July 28th of 1787. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affair of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire, that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without this concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." This is what our nation was founded on, where it came from. This is, as the man said, when America was America. When we could look and everything, you know, even in the schools, I'll maybe skip ahead here a little bit and look at it. Even the schools back in the 1800s, we went to the Bible Museum there, and one of the things that stood out to me was one of the little McGuffey readers that they had there. And this was required reading in the public schools. This is McGuffey's second eclectic reader from 1865, pages 66 and 67. It's on display at the Bible Museum there. And what these pages are is a poem called "The Sparrow and the Bee." And I'm just going to read that poem this morning. It says, "Who taught the little bee to fly among the sweetest flowers and lay his feast of honey by to eat in winter hours? Who showed the little ant the way her narrow hole to bore and spend the pleasant summer day in laying up her store? The sparrow builds her clever nest of wool and hay and moss. Who taught her how to weave it best and lay the twigs across? 'Twas God who taught them all the way and gave them all their skill and teaches children when they pray to do his holy will." Now this specific poem was also in a book that was reprinted later in 1862 called Things Taught. And it was printed in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the opening page says that it was prepared by order of the Cincinnati Public School Board. Now, if we did something like that today, people would go to jail. Or if you got to talking too much about God or about Jesus in school, people would go to jail. But this is what our nation was founded on. This was things that was required reading back then, and they would open the school. They would come and they would pledge allegiance to the flag. I doubt they let any of the little boys kneel and refuse to say the pledge. If they did, they'd probably get a hickory stick, and then they'd get sent home to mommy and daddy to get another hickory stick. You say you mix in politics with religion, Brother Nathan? No more than the founding fathers did. No more than I promise I won't do it any more than they did this morning, okay? But today we let people get away from it. You know, ball players and different things, or fans, or whatever it would be. And I say, hey, it's a free country. They can do that if they want to. But I don't think we should pay them millions of dollars to let them do it. Let them go play football or basketball or something for North Korea if they don't want to respect our nation. Amen. Amen. I'm going to skip ahead a little more here in a minute, but let me read you this. This is a continuation of this poem. It's not in that one from the Cincinnati Public School Board, but it's in the McGuffey Reader there. "Who taught you to sing, my sweet pretty birds? It was God," said a lark as he rode from the earth. "God painted our wings. He gave us our voice. He finds us our food. He bids us rejoice." Now, when this was required reading back in the schools, there were no school shootings. There was no drugs. You didn't see little 14-year-old girls getting pregnant unless they were married. In a lot of the states back then, they could get married at that young. But you didn't see these things in the school back then. They would go and they would say the Pledge of Allegiance, and the teacher would open up his Bible and read a verse, and they'd open in prayer. And there was something about it, men of integrity, men of respect. that grew up, that they learned that even if you didn't agree with somebody, that you could still be respectful to them. And we've lost that somewhere along the way. Brother Bam says in The Oddball in 1964, he said, in the state of Arizona, it's against the law to read the Bible in school. I think it's the same thing in Indiana, nearly the whole United States, because some infidel woman changed the whole program. He's talking about Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was an atheist. And remember, it's against the law to read the Bible in our public schools, but believers' taxes support infidelity to be taught in the school. Our taxes support infidelity being taught in the school, sex education and all kinds of evolution and things like that. But you know, we can't teach the Bible, of course. He said, politics, we need another Abraham Lincoln. We need another Patrick Henry. We need an American who can stand out regardless of where the politics are and call right, right, and wrong, wrong. Amen. Amen. I'd like to say and submit this morning, we don't only need that in our capital and in our government buildings around the nation. We need it in churches again. Somebody that'll stand and call right, right, and wrong, wrong, regardless of politics around the nation or politics around the message or what's popular or what's not. Men of integrity that will stand for what's right. You know, I make the little saying many times, which my parents heard Brother H. Richard Hall, who was a Pentecostal preacher that was in some of Brother Branham's meetings. He made this statement. He said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so we were one of the evenings there. We went on a little TripAdvisor app that I have, and we were searching for restaurants, and we decided we wanted Chinese food. I think it was the day we went to the National Archives there. And so we found a Chinese restaurant downtown, and we got done eating, and Ruth opens up a little fortune cookie for me there, and the fortune cookie said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so I've got it in my wallet, and I thought, goodness gracious, Brother Hall was getting these things out of fortune cookies. But as I said it in Delaware there when I was preaching, whether it's on a fortune cookie or whether a Pentecostal preacher or a message preacher or whoever's saying it, if it's truth, it's truth regardless of where it comes from. So, amen. Brother Bam, I was studying there in the Library of Congress, and I was looking for a quote where Brother Bam talks about when I was looking at, and I don't want to get too many sermons ahead of myself here, but I was studying about the dealing with a critical spirit, and I was thinking about when Brother Branham said that he was sitting in the seat of the scornful, and he said when he was sitting in the seat of the scornful there in his own church, that you know, that little Pentecostal sister came in, a woman preacher, and began to play the piano. And he said when she did, a sister from her church that was singing with him got out in the floor and began to dance. And he said, I was sitting in the seat of the scornful seeing that happen. He said, I thought, oh my, here in my own Baptist church, this is happening. And he said he could just hear what the people was going to say to him. And he said, I was sitting in the seat of the scornful. He said, then I began to think, well, is there any scripture for that? And he said, I began to think about Miriam when they came across the Red Sea there, and they had the victory because they'd been delivered. And he said, they began to dance and to shout and to play the tambourines. And he said, you know, I got to patting my foot a little bit. And he said, then I thought about David, how that when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, how that he had begun to dance, and, you know, his wife sitting up there looking down on him and judging him. And he said, oh, you think that's something? Watch this. He said he began to run around and around. And he said, before you knew it, I was out in the aisle dancing with her. Amen. So I was thinking of that quote, and I just typed in the seat of the scornful there and began to look at some quotes. And I ran across this quote from The Door Inside the Door. And Brother Bam said, it would be a great honor to the best Democrat in South Bend for our president, Dwight Eisenhower, to knock on his door to visit him. Though you different with him in politics, he's one of the greatest men in the earth, our beloved president, Dwight Eisenhower. Certainly it would be an honor. What makes the honor is the importance of the one who's knocking. Now here he's talking about how the best Democrat in the city of South Bend, where he's up in South Bend preaching there, and he's talking about, you know, the best Democrat in all the city of South Bend, if there was a knock at the door And Dwight Eisenhower was there, and him being a Republican and a Republican president, yet because of who it was, because of the caliber of man that he was, and because of the respect that they would have for his office, he said they would be happy to see him and welcome him. And I thought, how far has our country come since that time? You know, I got a few of the Donald Trump fans while I was there. There was an Air and Space Museum, and they had a little cart, a little Oriental lady sitting out there with a little cart selling hats and things. And so she gave me a deal if I bought a bunch of them. So I got some of those Make America Great Again hats and gave them to a few different people that I knew would appreciate that. And don't worry, Levi, I've got one for you, buddy. And I got some of these Make America Great Again hats, and I thought, how sad is it that you know, in this country, you wear something like that today, and in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you might get beat up or shot at. Why? Because of lack of respect. Hey, man, I don't agree with the president on everything he says and everything that he's done in his past, but we should respect his office, and he's done some great things for this country. Whether you're Democrat or Republican or whatever you are, I think God will honor him at least for bringing the embassy. Thank you, brother. All these other words were coming to me, but embassy. Bringing the embassy back to Jerusalem there, our embassy, instead of it being in Tel Aviv. All these years, presidents have promised that they would do it, but finally a man with the guts to actually do it, regardless of popular opinion. So, you know, there's something about me. I like a man with guts. Even if you don't agree with him, stand for something. Amen. Stand for something, but then, you know, when we take a stand for something, we should be able to respect the other guy, whether we agree with him or not. Amen. We don't have to agree with everybody, but Brother Bannon talks about respects and how we should respect an office. Paul even tells us to pray for those that are in power and things like that, but somewhere along the way, we lost that. Amen. Now, some of you that say amen in this morning, when there's a Democrat in office, we need to be able to get right behind and pray for them as well. Don't have to agree with them, but we should be able to respect them and pray for them. In the Jefferson Memorial, there's this statement engraved into the walls of the Jefferson Memorial, a statement from Thomas Jefferson says, God who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Commerce between master and slave is despotism. Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people are to be free. Establish the law for educating the common people. This it is the business of the state to effect, and on a general plan. Here he is once again talking about the justice and judgment of God, and how that basically he's saying here that God made man, but man made slaves, and yet a slave owner himself, but yet saying that if we were going to be founded on the fact that men were created free and that all men were equal, that we were going to have to be able to back that up. And now Abraham Lincoln, in the Lincoln Memorial there, there's this plaque where Abraham Lincoln, from his second inaugural address, he makes this statement. He says, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He's quoting a psalm there. I'm trying to remember exactly. I thought I had it written down here, but I may not have it, the psalm that he's quoting. But it's a psalm that he's quoting there. Now, here is actually a photograph from that event, the second inaugurational address. And if you zoom in here, you can see I've actually got a picture where it's circled better. But so here, Lincoln is circled in blue there. And on the balcony above him is actually John Wilkes Booth circled in red when he gave the second inaugural address there and read these words from the scriptures. The scriptures carved on the memorial blocks in the walls of the Washington Monument. Holiness to the Lord is one of the scriptures that has many different references. Search the scriptures from St. John 5:39. The memory of the just is blessed from Proverbs. And then Laus Deo, which is Latin for praise be to God, is engraved on the capstone of the Washington Monument. In the Bible Museum there, they had Bible on display. This is Dwight Eisenhower's Bible, and it's turned to Psalm 33, verse 12, which is where he placed his hand both times when he was sworn into office in 1953 and 1957. And that psalm, the verse reads, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." You remember a few months ago when we were looking at Jonah, and we looked at the picture of Dagon, what he looked like, and how he had the head of a fish. And then we looked at Hyssop's Two Babylons and the picture of the Pope's hat, and how that it looked identical to it. And we went in the Bible Museum there, and they had this one room that was all Catholic art. And I saw this and took a picture of it and texted it to Brother Trevor of all these fish head hats that are in there. And then Brother Trevor brought out, when he first started on the, or actually it may have been before, I think it was before he started on the Church Age series, maybe when he dealt on the Feast of the Trumpets, or no, it was when he dealt on Mystery Babylon. And he was talking about how that every culture has a Madonna and Child, and here is a wall with different pictures from different cultures of the Madonna and Child, and different ones there, and how he brought that out. So I thought that was pretty outstanding. There's a Bible there as well. This was donated to Abraham Lincoln from a group of African Americans in Baltimore. And they had more than 500, as the plaque says, more than 500 African-American Baltimoreans donated money to purchase the Bible, which cost about $580. Today is equivalent of more than $8,000. This was their thanks to him for signing and issuing the Emancipation Proclamation. And upon receiving it, Lincoln reportedly said, "In regard to this great book, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man." Amen. No wonder Brother Branham could call him the greatest president that we'd ever had. And you know, so many things we can look at here. I've skipped back and forth so much. I'm trying to find where I'm actually at in my notes. But there's just so many things as we walked through and looked around scriptures and histories of things gone by and how our nation was. But one of the things that was interesting to me, and I'm sure would be interesting to you, I know some of you have seen it and some of you would like to, where we actually stayed, the hotel we were at, we were right across the street from a large building. We didn't know what it was at first. And then a block up from that was the Library of Congress. And then a block over from that was the Capitol. So we could walk to the Library of Congress and the Capitol pretty easily. And what it is the Jefferson building of the Library of Congress is the main building there with the main reading room that I showed you. But then to the right of that, or behind it, is the behind the main steps there, I guess it would be on the back side of the building, is the Adams Building, which is also part of the Library of Congress. And then to the left of that building is the Madison Building, which is also part of the Library of Congress. And all of those and the Capitol are connected with tunnels. And if you go down into the tunnel and go over to the Madison Building, which is right across the street from our hotel, there's a room, LM337, which is Prints and Photographs Reading Room. And when you walk into that room, there's some very nice people. They were just spectacular, treated us very respectfully, very nice. The lady at the front desk when we went in had told us that our kids couldn't go to that area and that they couldn't see this. But when we got there and I talked to the lady, she said, "Oh, absolutely, they can come. They just can't come past this certain point. You can take it over and show it to them." So we saw the original photograph of Brother Branham taken from the original negative that was taken there at the Sam Houston Coliseum. And then here's some information about that, the copyright of the Douglas Studio, and it's signed by Mr. Kipperman there. And so I got a picture of me holding that there in the Library of Congress reading room there. And I don't know if you can't really see it here. There's some index cards and stuff over on the right, but there's just the whole room is filled with huge filing cabinets. And I asked him, I said, "Is there anything else of historical significance in this room that I should see while I'm here?" And the man pointed me over to a huge set of filing cabinets. He said, "Those are photographs of all the presidents and some paintings and stuff back before there were photographs." And so he takes me over to Joy. He said, "What president would you like to see?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to see Abraham Lincoln." He took me over to a drawer and opened it up, and they had the first copy of the first photograph ever of Lincoln back when he was young, before he had a beard and everything. But then this whole filing cabinet was just full of photographs, some of them originals, the originals that were taken and things. And then they had a huge a whole section of filing cabinets on photographs from the Civil War and things. And so I'm praying about taking a minister's retreat sometime, you know, and just going back to the Library of Congress for a while and studying some things. But maybe with a few of the brothers, I text Brother Danny Steeman, Brother Jason Watkins, and different ones. They said, "We're jealous." And I said, "Well, let's plan a minister's retreat sometime. We'll go and check out some of these things." But it was very nice. Really enjoyed the time there. But it really, you know, it spurred a little bit of patriotism in me, I guess, to see where we came from. But yet at the same time, kind of breaks your heart to see where our nation is now comparatively, as far as I thank God that we live in a country where there's still freedom of religion, where I can get up and even make statements like this, and where we can read the scriptures in our church. But if we were still able to do those things in schools and in places like that, and in the government, if they would still do it, I believe we could have been a lot further down the road. But regardless, Brother Branham said you could put a Abraham Lincoln in every county in the nation, and it won't come back fully now. Because of rejecting the word in 1956 there. But to look back and see what a blessed people we are to live in a nation where there is still freedom of religion, and where men gave their life for these things. When we went to Arlington just to look, and you say 40,000 graves, you know, and it sounds like a lot, but to actually go and see it, to see all those graves, and, you know, and that's just a portion of the men that have given their lives, and to go and see the change in the guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier, and that's been guarded, I think, since 1937, every minute of the day. And so if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's 3 in the morning, whatever it is, there's a soldier there guarding that tomb. And they said in I think it was 2008, 10 years ago, when they had the earthquake there in Virginia, they actually gave the men, there was two men there that was getting ready to switch out, and they gave them the opportunity, if they wanted to leave their post, they could due to the earthquake. And both men said, "No, we'll stay." And the man that was actually walking back and forth, marching at the time that the earthquake happened, he felt bad because he thought he just tripped on his own shoe. He thought he tripped himself, but it was because of the earthquake is the reason that he tripped. And to think about that, you know, those men standing out there 3 in the morning in the snow or the rain or whatever it'd be, and just, you know, it's hard to find that level of commitment and respect anymore in our country. So it really did something to you, you know, even when it comes to that's just a natural thing, and just respect for the country and just respect for our nation and for the troops. But when we think of spiritual things, how many of us would do that to come to church, you know, stand in the rain or the snow at 3 in the morning or whatever it would be? And so it gives you a lot to think about. It really, really did give me a lot to think about. Brother Bram says this in Knoweth It Not, 1965. He said, "Where is our John Quincy Adamses? Where is our Abraham Lincolns? Man of principle, where is our Patrick Henry said, 'Give me liberty or give me death'? Where is a man that stands for what's right? Where is the man that's not afraid to speak out? Regardless, the whole world's against him. Speak out for what's right and stand for it and die for it. Where is our Arnold von Winkler again today? Where is men of integrity?" He says, "Where is men with spirit? They're so wishy-washy and gommed up until they don't know where to stand." You know, I was talking to him there in Vienna, Virginia. Brother Mike Walls had a really nice time at the service there, and a good time of fellowship. Appreciated him having us in and having confidence in me to get behind the pulpit and minister to the people there. He told me before I went out, he said when I met you there at Brother Tim's dedication services, I'd met him there last year in December when Brother Trevor and I went to Brother Tim Pruitt's church building dedication services there. And he said, when I met you, he said, there was just something about your spirit that just connected right away. And he said, I've had some brothers come through that I've had to tell. He said, now, if you, he said, just stay with the message in the Bible. He said, don't get into any crazy something that's not in there. He said, if you do and you see me stand up, then you'll know why I'm standing up. And he said, but I know I don't have to say that with you, that you'll stay right with it. And certainly enjoyed the fellowship with him. And when I was preaching there, I made a statement that I never really thought of in that exact way, but we were talking along some of these lines of how that, you know, God being kicked out of the churches and the school, or the schools and the governments and some of the churches as well. Brother Branham said that in this age, it was the only age that he was on the outside of the door knocking, trying to get back into his own church, because with creeds and dogmas and things, they didn't make him welcome anymore. But I was talking about that and just how that we should be able to take Jesus with us wherever we go. You know, we sing that song, I think Brother Furman sang it a few weeks ago, take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. And that we should be able to take him with us wherever we go. And I said, well, you say, Brother Nathan, you know, they won't allow him in the schools, and they won't allow him at my job, and they won't allow him at the government buildings. I said, well, sneak him in. Sometimes you have to sneak him in, but you can still take Jesus with you. And if it's somewhere where you can't take him, or where it would grieve his spirit for him to be there, then it's probably someplace that you shouldn't be in the first place. But I was sharing with some of the brothers. I think I was sharing with him after the service there when we were fellowshipping, how that I can remember when I was working for Mercer there, and I can remember walking down the streets to 4th Street Live there with all kinds of perversion going all around me, and listening to Christianity versus idolatry in my ears and seeing it happen all around me. And then I can remember sitting there at my desk on a little break one time, and was watching Daryl Ward's testimony about his daughter, Brother Daryl Ward, and I just began to weep uncontrollably. I thought, I've got to shut this thing off, or they're going to think I'm crazy and kick me out of here. But I found that you can take Jesus with you wherever you go. Amen. Sometimes you have to sneak him in, Brother Hoover, but you can take him with you wherever you go. Amen. Psalm 9, verse 17, Scripture says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So we want to make sure in all that we do to remember God, to remember him in our daily life, to put him first. I encourage the people at the churches that we went to, put God first in whatever it is. Put him first in your time. Put him first in your choices. Put him first in your finances. Put him first in your family. All that you do, if you put him first, it'll come out all right. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come this morning, you thought the first service back, I'd keep you for 3 or 4 hours, but it just excited things, but just felt led to go this route. I know it's a little different than normal, but I hope it was a blessing to you, and some historical things mixed in with some scriptures and quotes that'll hopefully leave an impression on you. If you get a chance to go, I would recommend it, and if you do, I can give you some tips and things to save time as far as parking and just silly things like that. But it is neat to go and see these things and to see. It's kind of interesting to be walking around some of these government buildings and things and see scriptures and statues of religious figures that we have confidence in, and many great men down through history. So, amen. We are truly blessed. Amen. We live in a country, you know, we take bottled waters and clean tap water and things like that for granted, but we live in a country where we can go and get a drink out of the sink or out of the refrigerator or out of the bottle or whatever it would be, bottled water, and don't have to worry about diseases and germs and things like that. And we can go down and purchase us a Bible at a store. We don't have to have somebody smuggle it into us. We can drive a few miles and buy the audio or the text of any message that we want, go and read it and listen to it, have it on our phone and an app in our own language. Some countries and some nations, and some, Brother Trevor goes into Africa and places where, you know, what we would call, you know, not a third world country or anything like that. First world countries like Finland and things like that only have a handful of tapes in their language, and we don't realize sometimes how privileged we are. And then you go into countries like Africa, and maybe some of the French-speaking and English-speaking countries, my, they have a lot that they can listen to. But then you get into some areas like Brother Trevor goes into back in the villages and huts and things, and maybe there's 5 or 6 different dialects that are just very, you know, maybe only a few 100,000 people in the world that speak those dialects, and just little villages and huts here. How are you going to translate it into all those languages? So they don't have the opportunity to listen to the message in their language. Maybe they don't have a Bible translated into their language. And so we don't realize sometimes how privileged that we are. And so then men of God have to go in, and maybe they've heard it in French or English and know it and can take it in, and then they know that language enough to go in and preach and teach and try to share with them what they can in their own language. And so we thank God for the work that's going on. But I'm thankful that I live in a country where I can hear it in my own language, and that God sent a humble Kentuckian that could speak in a language that I could understand and use words that I could understand that wasn't so above my head that I had to go to get a dictionary or go to college for 50 years to understand. But we're a blessed people. Sometimes we don't realize it, just how blessed we are. You go over to some countries, electricity, running water, they don't know anything about that. We're blessed. Amen. Roof over our head, shoes on our feet, food on our table, food in the cupboards, food in the refrigerator. Even some poor homeless guy out on the street out here has it better than most people in other countries, because he can find a place to get into some charity or something where he can go spend the night, and he can go ask somebody on the side of the road for a dollar and go get him a 99-cent cheeseburger or something. There's nobody in America. If anybody's starving to death in America, it's either because they're just stubborn or they're being abused, because anybody can get access to you know, somebody to give them charity or to get a cheeseburger or something, or even if it's, you know, a day expired loaf of bread that they can get for free or whatever it is. We've got in this country, we're truly so very blessed, and sometimes we forget that. But let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you led me down this path this morning, a little different than the normal service for us, but Lord, I believe there's a purpose and a plan in it, Lord. Maybe just a reminder to us of, Lord, how that you've blessed us over the years, Lord. How that you've brought this country along, and how that you've blessed us financially, you've blessed us spiritually. Lord, we've seen revival waves come across this country, and you've protected us from wars and famines, and Lord, how blessed that we are, Lord. I believe that you're holding back your wrath, because there's still a bride that's on the face of the earth today. And we thank you, Lord. May we not take our blessings for granted, Lord, but may we just, Lord, may we lift up our hands this morning and just thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Oh, no matter what our condition this morning, Lord, some of us tired, some of us weary, some of us sick in body, some of us going through trials. But Lord, even through the trial, even through the sickness, whatever it be, Lord, help us to recognize we're blessed because you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. Lord, to hear prayer requests like the one Brother Darrell turned in about the lady losing her son in a car accident and no hope of the resurrection. She's not looking for that. She doesn't believe in that at this point. But Lord, it makes us realize that even losing loved ones, how blessed that we are over others, that we have a hope of the resurrection, that we'll see that loved one again. We're so blessed, Lord, to have your word and to have the promises of the scripture. Lord, but when there's someone that doesn't know or that doesn't see or that doesn't understand, Lord, help us to extend grace to that person, Lord. May we live a life before those people, Lord, that they can recognize there's something different about that person. They have something that I don't have, not because we're smarter, not because we're better, but because of the peace of Christ in our heart makes such a difference, Lord. Help us to be salty, Lord, so that others would begin to be thirsty. Lord, not to join some membership, or not to attend a specific church, or not to wear a certain class of clothes or drive a certain class of car, but Lord, may they be thirsty for Christ in our life. May they be thirsty for the God that they see on the inside of us, Lord. May you use us as vessels to be a help to others, we pray, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Why don't we sing that together this morning? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. Oh, he's my master, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim, for I know kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let's sing it again together this morning. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. He's my master, my Savior, oh Jesus, oh like a fragrance right after the rain, oh Jesus, Jesus. Oh, they'll all pass away, but there's something about it. Well, we call this pulling a Brother Hoover on the musicians. I'm going to try a song that I had on my heart all last night, and try E flat. Actually have sang it here at the church before. One time I got to fellowship with Brother Ron Lilly, and was reminded of this song that they sang when they were here, and I'm going to try to help the musicians. I don't even know if I have the melody right, but I have the words, and maybe you remember the melody too to help me. I just had it on my heart all night last night and thought we'd sing it today. Oh, draw me, draw me, I'll come running after you. Oh, draw me, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Oh, draw me, draw. Let's try this verse. Oh, you alone are all I need. For you are my destiny. You alone are all I need. In you. So draw me, Lord, I'll come running.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, draw, oh, just worship him this morning. Oh, draw me, Lord, I'll come running after you. Let's sing it again together. Why don't we stand and worship him? Draw me, oh, draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Oh, draw me,
draw me, Lord, I'll come running after you. For you alone are all I need. For you are my destiny. Yes, you alone. Let's sing this together. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Be blessed this morning. Health in your body, I am blessed. Oh, every day, you got loved ones that serve in the Lord. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am. Well, it's me. It's me. Standing in the need of prayer.
prayer. Not my neighbor or my brother, but it's me, oh Lord. Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, yes, it's me. Oh, it's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father or my mother. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. But it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, yes, it's me. Thank you, Lord. We're standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I'm standing here this morning now, 'cause I know that you can answer prayer. And I believe you heard my plea before I even prayed one prayer. But still it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing.
It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father or my mother, it's me, oh Lord.
In your hymn book.
Oh, I am a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. I'm on my way to that fair city. It's when the saints go marching. Heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints. When we gather round the throne and the gates are closed within, oh, I'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Saints go marching in. Oh Lord.
Oh, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when they crown. God bless you. You're dismissed. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when they